Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
It's on the chin still, but he's having a difficult time getting his hand back to that top hand.
There's the top! 2 successive wins by submission.
Tiago! My
son! He's got the leg over. Please tap.
There's the tap! Erin Blanchfield and her cold-blooded best tonight!
Erin, cold-blooded Blanchfield!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. One of our guests in the waiting room, so we'll chat for a minute and then bring him right in. Thiago Moises is going to be joining us today. Very, very impressive win. I guess that was last week. And Erin Blanchfield will be on the show today. She has a huge fight, and that's the co-main to Chito Vera against Sanhagen. So her last win against Molly McCann was so impressive. I mean, that's like a career-changing win.
Look what I'm wearing, Jimmy.
It's Sarah BJJ, right?
Well, basically it's a jiu-jitsu shirt.
Sure.
Because the people that we are having on, Erin Blanchfield.
That's right. Yeah.
Thiago Moises.
Yeah.
Both their last fights. Rear naked choke, also known as Monte Leon, to kill the lion with Thiago. And Erin Blanchfield, elbow up guillotine. Elbow up. Oh, no. That was JJ Aldridge. That was her fight before.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She knows submissions. She also got a Kimura on Molly McCann. So I. Jimmy, you know how I start my day. I already taught my 7 a.m. class. This is a jiu-jitsu filled episodes.
So you don't like it?
I'm very excited about today's episode.
I know you are. Thiago Moises, by the way, you could have just as easily wore a boxing shirt and said it was in honor of him, how well he was striking in that last fight, even though he did win by submission. Let's bring him in.
I don't have a boxing shirt, Jimmy.
Me neither. I was just saying his striking was really beautiful in that last fight.
Oh, I get it. Yo, let's talk to him.
Yes. I was segueing into bringing him.
Yes, that was a great segue.
Thank you, Matt.
Until I fucked it up. Look at him, Thiago.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, brother? How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Cloud nine? That's an American expression where it's like you're so happy that you're in the clouds.
Yeah.
You know?
I never heard that before, but yes.
Oh, okay. I knew when I said it, you looked at me like, what the cloud? What clouds?
Yeah.
Hey, man. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
When you came into the room just now, you had the same look on your face that you have when you fight. You're very, very stoic when you fight. Do you just not let emotion get into it? And how do you... Does it help you focus more when you fight, or does it help you not make mistakes?
Man, actually, it's something natural for me. You know, sometimes I even get worried, you know, because I'm about to fight and I feel like very calm. I feel like the way that I'm feeling right now, sitting right here talking with you guys. So this gets me sometimes a little worried. You know, I try to hype me up.
You like that backstage? Backstage also in the locker room?
Yes. In the locker room, I got pretty nervous, like on the fight day, you know, when I'm in the hotel waiting, then for me, that's the worst. Okay. I get very nervous there. Yeah.
That's normal. Now, let me ask you, when did you start jiu-jitsu and how many competitions have you done? I'm assuming many.
Yes, I started when I was 8.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, and I started competing like when I was 8 also. So
this is what, Jimmy, that's what it, listen, just like these wrestlers who've been doing the wrestling since they're 8 years old, you're so used to competing that's why he's got that face on there where he's just chilling, because whether it's jujitsu,
right?
I don't care if it's tennis, chess, whenever you're competing in front of people, it's different. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
So you do that at an early age. I think that's what makes you so calm in the cage now. Do you feel?
Yes. And I had like kickboxing fights when I was like teenager also.
Mm.
And I was fighting like almost every weekend, you know? So I think that's why I stay so calm.
And your brother's a fighter, and your father, what exactly did your dad specialize in?
My father, he specializes in kickboxing. He's a kickboxing black belt. He fought a lot of times kickboxing. He was kickboxing national champion, state champion. I think he was second ranked on Latin America rankings.
Oh, okay.
And he is jiu-jitsu purple belt, and he has one MMA fight.
So it was very combat, competing and fighting. It's just something was all around you when you grew up. So it's just all aspects of it are very comfortable.
Yeah, it's something natural for me. You know, like I grew up going with him to the gym and watching UFC, fights, going with to MMA shows with him, you know. So it's something pretty normal for me.
Did you plan on going into MMA, or did you think you would just kickbox, or did you plan on learning everything when you started or when you were a little younger?
You know, my father, he was a kickboxing coach, and at the gym that I was to train, there were no kickboxing for kids, you know, so there were jiu-jitsu for kids. That's why I started, you know, training with the kids. Then I started kickboxing when I was 11, and I was going to MMA competitions with him. So like right away, I was already like visualizing myself fighting MMA. So that's the one thing that I always wanted to do.
What part of Brazil did you grow up?
I grew up in São Paulo.
Oh, São Paulo. And you moved Florida. You moved to Florida in 2018?
No, I moved to Florida when I was 17.
Oh.
To train at America Top Team. Was I think at the 2012, at the end of 2012.
Oh,
you were 17 years old?
I was 17, yeah. And yes, I was 17.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, right, man? To move countries and to kind of go off like that. And your family wasn't with you, right? It was just you?
No, it was just me. And I spoke no English at all, you know, at the time. And it was like an adventure.
Oh, that's an adventure, all right.
Yeah.
So how did that work? You're 17. And I'm assuming your father knows somebody over at was it American Top Team?
Yeah.
No, I had a friend. No, you're good. I had a friend in common. He went to an MMA show and he saw Alex David, who was my first manager.
I know Alex.
Yes. And he told Alex, "Hey, Alex, I got this kid here. He's a hard worker and he has a lot of competitions in BJJ. You know him." He's like a teenager, but he's already fighting adults, and he has striking competition. I think I had two. I was 17, but I had two professional MMA fights already.
Oh shit! And, so Alex set you up with the school with what academy?
Yeah, Alex set me up with American Top Team.
Yes.
I went to American Top Team. I stay in the fighter's house with Mirsad Bektsky, Kobe Covington, and Mike Graves. And I think it were just those three at the time. And
how was Kobe Covington back then?
He was very quiet, you know, like he didn't spend much time at the house. But he was very quiet. He didn't say much, you know, always respectful and just a regular guy, you know.
How did you learn English? Just from being around people and all of a sudden you were kind of forced to learn it?
Yes, I learned English like mostly because I was living with the Americans, you know, so that's why I learned. And when I got there, I was 17 years old. I was already helping, you know, UFC fighters like Cole Miller, Gleison Tibau, Yves Edwards. And I spent 1 month there, you know, and then they asked me if I wanted to move it to America, and of course I said yes. And then they really got me a work visa, you know, a place to stay, and that's I'm like at America Top Team since then.
Oh hell yeah, man! That was great. Your college, man. That was your college.
Yes.
Wild.
Yeah, it was rough, you know, just like training at a small gym, like in the countryside in Brazil, you know, going straight to American Top Team. Yeah. Was like I was living a dream, you know, and I was like every day I was excited to be there. I wanted to show my value, but at the same time I was like very nervous, you know, like going to train with those guys. I was more nervous training there than fighting, you know.
In your last five fights, I think before this one, were at the Apex, right? This was your first fight in front of a crowd in a long time?
Yes.
How did it feel?
To be honest, I was a little bit worried, you know, if I was going to get more nervous fighting in front of the crowd, especially here in Brazil. But I visualized that a lot, you know, the crowd, you know, the people cheering, the energy, the fans. But I was the same, you know. It was the same with that fighting at Apex. I was thinking I had this feeling on this thought on my mind, you know, like the crowd and everything else, the cameras, everything was going to be an illusion, you know, like something that doesn't matter, you know, if the fight's gonna be Apex, there's gonna be people here watching. At the end of the day, the fight's gonna be the same. So nothing matters, you know. Why should I worry about this?
Was it like the one thing? I guess you get used to hearing your corner though. After five straight fights, it's much easier to hear the corner instructions and what they're yelling. And you get in front of, you know, 12,000 people, and it's a little more difficult to hear the instructions coming at you.
No, I could hear my corners perfectly. We have a like, really good connection, so that was not a problem for me.
Now, Thiago, besides fighting, you know, we like to get to know all the guys on here. Give us a hobby. What do you like to do? You're married, you're single, you're a Netflix guy, you watch videos, you go for hikes. What do you tell us about yourself, Thiago?
Man, I'm married.
Nice.
Yeah,
kids?
Yeah. And no, I don't have kids yet. And okay. But I like what I like to do. I like to watch movies, you know, go to the beach. There's not much that I do, you know, outside of fighting. All my energy goes in training.
you're a surfing guy. Do you surf at the beach or no?
No, I don't surf. I just chill. You know.
Yeah, man, I chill too, bro. I don't even swim. I chill. I mean, I can swim, but I sink. It's not for
me. I would sink also. It's not for me. I just chill at the beach. I go at the ocean. I like going to the ocean. But
what about movies? What kind of movies you like?
I like action movies, you know, and comedy.
Yeah, Jimmy is he's a professional comedian, but he shits on comedies.
I don't shit on them. I just don't watch them.
Really?
I just don't watch them because it's like, I'd rather watch something that's not close to. Right, yeah, right. I just don't usually laugh at them.
I like Adam Hunter. He's a good comedian.
Adam Hunter's great. Yeah, I know Adam for many years. He's really funny.
I like Adam too.
He's very funny.
Do you find it hard to have a hobby because, like, when you're doing something, you think I should be training, or this is time I'm wasting that I could be training or I could be doing something for my career.
That's one thing. And the other thing is that, like, I try to train as much as I can, you know? So the time that I'm not training, I'm recovering for
relaxing. Yeah.
From training, you know? Yeah. Relaxing. So, but that's one thing that I need to improve, you know, because hobby is, it's really good, so you can reset your mind and, you know, be hungry again, to fight.
Oh yeah, well, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
By the look at that rear naked choke, that Monta Leone to kill the lion. Hey, I bet Costa, your opponent, I'll tell you what, he needed a little extra oomph. Maybe he shouldn't have. He got too excited there. You were cold. He spent a lot. His warm up was when Bruce Buffer was saying his name. He was like, he was confident. He was psyched. But when you have that, he's probably like, yo, that's not around my neck. My carotid arteries, they're fine. I have a blood coming up to my brain. But the problem is, Jimmy, the way Thiago had that, he wasn't going to have a fucking jaw.
Yeah.
That jaw would have broke. So you could
I was going to break it.
Keeping my chin tucked, right or wrong, Thiago, that will break his jaw the way you had that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I had a lot of torque here. I felt that that I was going to break his drive. He didn't tap. And also, I had the body triangle. I was extending his back, you know, so I was putting a lot of pressure on his lower back as well.
That's so funny you said that. I was teaching back escapes today, and I was doing that hand assist method. When the triangle back in the day.
The triangle, yeah.
The back triangle, body lock triangle. Back in the day, there would just be a leg. You'd bring your leg over their leg and try to do a shitty foot lock. That never really worked.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't work.
Danaher and Gordon Ryan and them, they did this hand assist method.
Yes.
Normally, you don't bring your hands down when somebody's got your back. But now, when you keep it up and you get that knee up, and I was practicing it this morning. Oh, it was so much fun. Isn't it great with jiu-jitsu, how it just keeps evolving? There's so much new more stuff to learn. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Black belt. I thought I knew it all. You got to keep going. Fun, right?
More. Yeah, more I said, more I know that I don't know anything, you know? That you like, because that's you always learn, you know?
The white belt mentality. That's how you have to have that. Yes. And Jimmy, he took that a step further, and he's white belt for life. I go, no. I go, Jimmy, that's nothing to be proud about. It's okay to be a white belt with the mentality.
Right.
No, I get very attached to things. I have a white belt. I don't want to get rid of it. I don't want darker belts. My belt is nice.
You can be like the best white belt in the world.
That's what I want to do. Yeah, I want to just fight all the white belts.
One day, Jimmy.
What are your goals for this year, Thiago? You look so good in that fight. And by the way, I always tell Matt, I always think it's bad when fighters are too into Bruce's announcement. Matt, do I not always say, like, I hate when they get too psyched out? I'm like, that's not a good sign when someone is just too, they're focusing on the wrong thing.
It's true.
You know? Like, you know, you watch Amanda Nunes, she doesn't even look at Bruce. You know what I mean? She stares down, she'll turn around at the last second and put her arm up, and then she's ready to fight. What is your goal for this year?
That's first, I want to say one thing. That's one thing that I realized about this, about Costa, you know, like at the Wayne's, he was dancing and he was very comfortable, you know, for his UFC debut. So I think he was nervous. He was trying to hide it, or
he's or doing he that whole, like, peacock act.
Yeah,
he wants to be like, I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
I don't know the peacock, but he was trying to say, "Hi, Bella, this is my cage.
Yeah, yeah,
not up in here, Thiago."
Yeah, not here.
Not today.
That's my house. 10th years. My 10th year.
Yes. That's so great.
And you don't you don't care what somebody else's attitude is coming into the cage, right? It doesn't bother you at all. No. If he's calm, fine. If he's not calm, fine.
Yes. It's better just focus on my actions. You know, I can't control my actions. You know, I cannot control what this guy's gonna do. You know, so. That's what the same when I fought Bobby Green, you know, he talks a lot during the fight. So I had a good experience with that before.
Yeah, you don't want to be answering
him. No, you don't. You're not going to beat him on this game, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who do we want next? Who is next for us?
Right.
Man, I'd love to fight Paddy Pimblett, you know, it would be a good fight, I think.
What did you think of his last fight?
I think he lost that fight. I don't think he looked good at all.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I like Paddy, but I didn't. So I'm sorry, Matt, but I didn't like that he said, maybe he was just in the heat of battle. But when it was over and they asked him, "Did you think it was a close?" He goes, "No, I didn't even think it was close." And maybe that's just because he's still in that moment. But I think clearly Gordon won that fight, and you would hope that Paddy would have handled it a little differently than he did, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he could be like more humble, you know, and recognize Jared Victor, you know, but he didn't. Yeah, I think this made him look worse.
I believe so also. I mean, sometimes like when there's a close fight, almost like Sugar Sean versus Peter Yan. Sugar Sean's like, I gotta watch it, man. I gotta watch it. And that's normal because you know, Thiago, when you're in there, and if it is a close fight, sometimes you're thinking everything you did, and other times you're thinking, all right, I won, but I'm thinking every time I got touched. Like I'm thinking of some things I did wrong.
Right.
So you don't know. You know, you're in the are literally in the moment until it's over and you review it. So there's times I'm like, man, and I'm like, I don't think I did good. I'm like, oh shit, man. I should have won that fight. No, you know what I mean? I'll look at it and be a lot more happy, you know?
Yes.
So I wonder if he looked back at that and said, all right, maybe it was closer than I thought. When we talked to Patty, again, I'd love to ask him, dude, you really think it wasn't close? Like that's what's crazy to me, you know?
I think he knows. He knows. Mm-hmm. I think when he puts his head on the pillow to sleep, he knows that he lost that fight.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that would be a great fight with you guys.
Yeah, it would be great, yeah.
You know,
man, I would love to fight him, you know, but I don't think he's gonna fight me.
Fight somebody, man. He's gotta fight somebody. He's gotta
He gotta step up his competition, you know.
Why not you?
I'm down, you know.
When you're looking at Patty, do you see holes in his game? Do you think you could beat him on the floor as well as standing up? Or would you see where it goes? Or you're like, yo, I got a definitely an advantage here. Because people do mention about that chin coming up a little bit. Or do you want to just hold that until you fight him?
I think I could beat him everywhere, you know. I think he was holding his chin like this. He was getting touched a lot by Jared, you know. Jared took him down, was like holding him on the ground. So I think I can beat him everywhere, every way that I want to.
Jared looked really good in that fight.
He looked very good, yeah.
Yeah, Jared. I think Jared fought great, and I know people gave him some shit for that last round, but like that last
round, he won.
You know, it's up to him. It's up to Patty to try
to the friends. Yeah,
hey man, you're down two rounds, dude. You got to do something, make it happen.
Yeah,
it's you who are being held up against the cage. So why don't you get the fuck off the cage? It's not his job. Yeah. No, I don't know. I get crazy.
Yeah. It's his job to get out. You know.
Yeah, shit.
Well, some guys, when a guy loses like a submission, and he'll say, the other guy was fucking went for the takedown. He was scared to fight me. And say, well, that's part of the fight is him putting you on the ground and choking you.
Yeah,
like that's
then do kickboxing.
Yeah, go fight glory, you know?
Exactly, man. There you go.
Well, Tiago, do you have any idea when your next fight might be, or is there nothing? No discussion yet.
No discussion yet, but I'd like to get three more fights this year. Would it be perfect for me.
Okay, yeah, it's only January, so it's very possible you didn't get hurt. You're healthy.
Yes.
Well, come back and see us again, man. We appreciate the time. It's good talking to you, and that was such a great win for you, so congratulations.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for your time. Thanks for having me. And it was a really good fight. Costa was very tough, you know. He gave me a very tough fight.
Yeah, it was a great fight, yes.
He was tough, and he was confident, you know what I mean? So
yes. He has a lot of experience, yeah.
Yeah, he looked it. But, hey, man, congrats. You got the job done.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Tiago, be good.
Take care, brother.
All right, have a good one, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental Tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
And coming up shortly, we have Aaron Blanchfield.
It's a jiu-jitsu party. I started the day with some strangles from behind. First, I showed them how to do the strangle. And then I showed them how to get out of the strangle. I just got out. I got on top in my head. I live this shit.
Matt, let me ask you. Did we talk yet? Have we talked yet about Merab Pyotrjan main event?
That is the main event. That's the main event.
That's Merab's main. I believe so. Let me check that just to make sure. If it's not, it should be. I'm almost positive it is.
Well, Jimmy, listen to me, man. I'm having a good time. Having a good time. Jimmy, do you like Queen?
I do, yeah.
Okay. What song do you want me to sing? Because we're having a good time.
That's
having
not it.
Oh, that's not the one you like?
Nope.
That's a fun song.
Not the one I want to hear.
Okay, what do you want to hear? Jimmy,
Nope, not that one.
That's a little, it's a different take.
Yes, not the one I wanted to hear. So,
which one do you
want? Do you know Sail Away, Sweet Sister?
No.
Okay, so we can't sing today, but you can learn that one and then sing it next week. Sail Away, Sweet Sister is my favorite Queen.
I would switch it up with a lyric from Post Malone when he goes, run away. I would go, sail away, sail away.
No,
you don't know what I'm going through. No, wait, wait. Anyway, listen, we'll work this out later.
Marab against Piotr Yan. By the way, just a couple of other fights, Matt. Is this the co-main of Gon Jones? Valentina against Alexa Grasso.
I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. Did you say it was a main event?
It is the main event, yes. It's Piotr Yan and Marab is the main event, yeah.
Wow.
Fight night, March 11th. And Vegas, Gon Jones is Shevchenko against Alexa Grasso has been added. 287 in April, Gastelum against Chris Curtis. That's a fight I really, really want to see. And then another one for fight night, April 15th, is Barbosa against Billy Quarantillo. What a great fight that is.
Billy Q versus
Edson Barbosa.
Edson Barbosa. Barbosa. Edson Barbosa. You're only a kick away. Barbosa.
I came back during the song.
So, Jimmy, the coffee is kicking in.
That's unfortunate.
Out of my fucking mind at 7 in the morning. You got to see me, bro. I am blasting Sweet Caroline, and I'm having the people warm up. I'm yelling them. Are they ready to have a good time? Are you guys ready? And they're like, yeah, a little bit. I go, no. I'm asking you a question. This is how they start today. 30-something people today.
How long is the whole thing with the warm-up and with the class?
Starts at 7, ends at 8.
How long is the warm-up?
Fucking, dude, what I do, I don't get some. No, the people that don't want to teach, they go, all right, let's do a 45-minute warm-up.
Yeah.
And then I'll show you a fucking Kimura, and it's done. Me, jog around the room. We have a nice big academy. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have them jog, but it's a nice academy, so they could jog. Yeah, if you want, you got bad knees, do a power walk. I don't give a fuck. After they do a little bit of jogging, like a little bit, like fucking minute. All right, front rolls, back rolls, shrimps, we party in that order. Front rolls, back rolls, you got that. Shrimps is on the floor, your hips are out, you know. So after that, we go. Sometimes I go, oh, front rolls, back rolls. Hold the shrimps. Oh, why are they holding the shrimps? They go, why? Because we're doing a flow drill. I'm going to escape mount. I'm going to pendulum sweep. You're doing that back to me. And we're doing that for fucking 4 minutes. And then we'll party. So, Jimmy, I'm passing the guard, getting cross-eyed mounting you. You're doing the elbow escape for two. And then we're switching that up. Yeah, we're all loosey-goosey.
How close, let me ask you, during that Costa Moises fight, and I forgot to ask Thiago this, he was almost going for a Kimura against Thiago right before he got choked. They were on the floor. Do you remember that moment?
I remember there was would Costa go for the Kimura?
Yeah.
Shit, man. I you know what?
Or he had his arm in what looked like he was going for a Kimura. I just was wondering how close was he?
I got to see it again. Okay. I got to see where it was.
Yeah.
That bothers me now that I can't go over that. But, you know, if it's behind his back, it's fucking close. If a guy's got a bite on it and you're defending it, you know, it might look like, oh, that arm's in trouble when it's really not. So I'd have to really look at it. If you saw it behind his back, that's fucking scary.
No, it wasn't. Maybe Aaron, he wasn't that close.
Aaron Blanchfield did a fucking masterful job versus Molly McCann, of course. But Molly, it was a beast. She was trying to buck out of there. She was trying to hip up, buck out. Dude, you can be BJ Matt Hughes. I don't like giving him credit. But when he got on cross side on BJ Penn, BJ Penn could put both of his legs behind his head. But when he got cross side on him and had his shoulders pinned, like he's probably been doing since he's been in wrestling all his life, he's been doing that all his life. And he isolated his near side limb. So, in other words, people have a far side underhook on cross side. Mm-hmm. But when you have that near side arm underneath them, that arm could make space to connect knee to elbow, get back to guard. That arm could offset the balance to get this other arm back to get an underhook. But when you isolate that arm and she's getting fucking elbowed, and next thing you know, the arm gets behind the back.
I think that's the most claustrophobic thing when you see somebody with their arms like that, with one arm pinned between the legs, and they're in their like a cross, and yeah. they just are helplessly getting punched. That is even more claustrophobic to me than when Habib would push someone into the fucking corner of the cage and maul them.
You got to realize who you're dealing with. Like, you understand? And what, and you got to realize when is the danger zone. When are you in the most danger? And where are you in the most danger? When I fought Matt Hughes, I was not concerned with him on my back. I know that sounds weird. If I'm belly down, for sure. I don't want him on my back. But when he took me down, after I dropped him, people point to a headbutt, but I it was a right in. But he ended up getting me down with a nice knee block on the end of the round. And he ended up cross-eyed on me. I gave up my back. That's usually a no-no. But for me, it was a yes, yes, because I didn't want that motherfucker across my side. Because across my side, I'm flexible as shit. Maybe not as flexible as BJ Penn, but I'm pretty flexible. If he would have got me cross-eyed and stayed there, it's problems. It's problems for the best guys. That's why I gave up my back. He took the back. Oh, I escaped. But the problem, the thing is, you got to realize where you are in the most danger. You right. follow me?
Sure.
Anyway, Molly McCann, when I asked her, she was on the show before she fought Erin, and I go, do you have a plan for when she takes you, if she takes you down? And she went through a
that's step right. by step, that's you're step right. by
step. What am I going to do, Matt? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z. She does this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to the cage. I'm going to get
that's
up.
That's right.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to get an underhook. I'm going to get up. The what we don't understand, and it's like this in a lot of different arts, but jiu-jitsu, you could watch somebody and you could say, I know everything that person's doing. You watch Hicks and Gracie, who's a master of the basics. Erin Blanchfield doesn't do anything really flashy. And yep. she has a very strong control of the basics of jiu-jitsu. And just like boxing, where there's a jab, cross, left hook, with her jiu-jitsu, it's very take you down, superior position, submit or beat the shit out of you. And it's a beautiful and brutal thing. Where was I with this? Oh, so with the different levels, you can see what she's doing and say, oh, sure. I know that. And I've defended that before in class. But when you get on, when somebody like that's on top of you, the sensitivity, you'll notice, you're like, oh, okay, this is a different level. I bucked off, you know, this one, that one, and fucking Susie Cube, whoever else. This girl's like glue. There's a different sensitivity in the way she's moving and the way she distributes her weight. And that's something that only you could develop on the mat, and there's no shortcuts for that.
Let's bring her in. She's in, Erin's a little bit early. Let's bring her in.
Should I take it down a notch? She seems calm. I'm a little nuts. She's,
well, you know, it's okay. I'm sure she can, whatever you give her, she can handle, but.
Okay, Jimmy.
I have total faith in both of you.
I'm a fan.
I know you are. I think you picked her too.
Darn right I did.
Yeah.
Darn right I did, Erin.
There she is. Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to see you.
You too.
We are so excited. Jimmy's not no friends, Jimmy. I don't think Jimmy's excited as I am.
That's not true. You're just louder.
I am loud. Don't embarrass me in front of Erin. Stop it. Erin, let me tell you something. Yeah. Congrats on your success. Before we got on air today, yeah. my wife, she's been training jiu-jitsu, and my daughters, I showed two out of my three daughters. The other one was somewhere else. But they're young, 13 and 9. And I showed them your last two submissions. I'm telling them, explaining, Angelina, you see where her elbow is up. Her elbows are guillotine. She couldn't escape it. That was the J.J. Aldridge fight. I was so, that fight, J.J. Aldridge, that was a competitive fight. Jimmy, do you remember this one? It was a fight. One mistake with that neck out, not even a big mistake. You got control of the head and arm. When you took that out with that elbow was up, I and Jimmy knows how I get. He watched fights with me. This was me. Sorry, Erin. I had a lot of espresso today.
Yeah.
Did you feel, let me ask you too, because we talked to Molly before this fight. Did you feel like people were underestimating you going into this fight? And did you feel like all the focus was on Molly and that a lot of people had it as a foregone conclusion that she was going to win?
I knew that like the fans, like people that kind of just maybe like casually watch MMA thought she was going to win. But I mean, the betting odds were hugely in my favor. So I felt like people knew, like people that are in the know.
Yeah.
Win that fight. So I definitely felt like maybe like the media were definitely hyping up her elbows, like her spinning elbow knockouts and stuff like that. So maybe people thought that, but I knew people I really knew that it was my fight all day.
When you hear Joe Rogan commentating it, Joe was in the know. Like, you know what I mean? Joe knows what he's watching. And you know his respect for jiu-jitsu and his love for jiu-jitsu, you know? I want to know let's talk about when you started training. How old were you when you started training? And what did you start with? I don't want to assume jiu-jitsu, but I'm kind of assuming jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I started when I was 7 years old, and I started with like no gi jiu-jitsu and kickboxing.
Where was this? Because I know you're from the East Coast.
From Jersey.
I first started training at like Tiger Schulman's in New Jersey. Yeah, when I was a kid.
And then where else would you go from there?
Well, I started cross training at a couple gyms. Like all growing up, my dad would kind of like drive me around and like bring me wherever I can get like the best work in and get coaching in. And then when I was around like 15, 16, I started training like at the gyms I'm training at now. So like MK, Muay Thai, Silver Fox BJJ, which is like a Henzo affiliate. And then, then Cordova Train for wrestling.
So you train with Carl? Do you train with Carl Pravick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have my black belt under him.
Yeah. Jimmy, I know Carl Pravick since I'm 20 years old. Carl Pravick, the Henzo Gracie black belt, Silver Fox, got the cool suit he's wearing. But he's a technician, and that's awesome.
What motivated you to start training? Does anybody in your family train? And you said your father was driving you around, and did he see potential in you, or is it just because it's something you wanted to do?
Yeah, so my little brother actually had started training a little bit before me, and I had just quit dancing at the time, and I didn't really have anything else I was doing. So I went to go watch him, and they offered me like an introductory class, and I took it, and I was like hooked after that. My parents were always super supportive of me and my brother training, and I started competing pretty much like only like a couple months after I started training. So I was always trying to like get better for the competitions. Like I wanted to improve and keep winning. So yeah, my family was super into it, and they brought me wherever I needed to go.
Were you doing, were you doing ballet? What kind of dancing was it? Was it ballet?
Yeah, I was doing like ballet and like tap.
Yeah, that's so funny. My girls are doing exactly that.
Yeah.
And this is hysterical because two of my kids are talking, and I hope their dance teachers aren't listening, but they're talking about doing a lot less or none because they're at my academy so much they want to go jiu-jitsu route. So I'm telling them to think about it because they've been doing it since they're like 2 years old, two out of my three kids. But hey, man, it worked for Erin Blanchfield. How long were you doing the dance before you quit?
I did it from when I was like 3 years old. My mom put me into it till I was like six. Yeah. And then I just kind of got bored of it.
Okay.
You got bored of it. Yeah. You know what's funny about that? When I'm teaching my kids, and you'll relate to this, I'm showing them an ankle pick, and I'm showing them how to bring the leg up with like a whizzer. I'm like, look, what's this? They go, oh, that's like a panche. The panche to ankle pick. You know what a panche is, don't you? Yes, yeah. When you go down, well, I could do it to embarrass myself, but it's basically when you basically whizzer it up with your back pocket or front pocket to bring them on one leg, and then you ankle pick. I don't know. Yeah. I use the dance terms to help instruct them. But Jimmy, this is meant to be. Maybe my kids should get out of dance. I don't know.
Yeah, it works for me.
I mean, it's more practical, the idea that you'll need self-defense or what jiu-jitsu can provide, than ever having to spontaneously dance somewhere. So yeah, I would say that jiu-jitsu, if you had to choose, probably the route to go. You didn't expect to get, did you expect to be, to get Santos as your next fight? What exactly after that fight were your expectations, and did this exceed them?
So after my last fight, I was like number 12, I think, going into that fight. So I definitely expected to move up after winning it. And I definitely wanted someone ahead of me. I didn't realize like how much, but once I like was offered that fight, I was kind of like looking at, I guess like the top girls in the division, a couple of them are hurt and some of them already had fights matched up. So when I first got it initially, I definitely was a little bit surprised. But then I kind of realized quickly that it's like the only fight that makes sense right now. And I was super excited for it. I definitely wanted it. So I was definitely excited.
It's also because I also think there's something more to it, is that they see you and they go, yeah, this person could be ready to fight for a title relatively soon. I mean, because there's a lot of fights that make sense that don't happen, or a lot that seem a little odd that, that should happen that don't. And the fact that they are putting you against the number two fighter, that says something about how they how good they feel you're doing and that you might be ready for something, a championship fight.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like a bunch of the girls like in the top have either like they fought Valentina already or they've lost to girls that they already fought Valentina. So there's not a lot of like, I guess, new contenders right now, like in the top five. So I think that's why they want me to fight like Talia and some of the other matchups that are going on. I think they're trying to find like a new like contender to fight Valentina, like after her next fight. So yeah, I think it's kind of exactly what they're doing with this one.
Aaron, when you're not training, which sounds like you're training a lot.
Yeah.
Give us a hobby. What do you like to do? It's some movies, books. What do you like to do not training related?
Movies, books. I'm into Netflix. I like watching different series on Netflix. I like
Give us one. Give us one. What is it?
The one I've been watching now is like You. It's literally called Just You. I think they have like a new season coming out soon. That one's super cool. I love that one. Yeah, I don't know. I like going to different coffee shops and stuff around here in Jersey. There's a lot of good ones. I don't know, I like going shopping. I feel like I'm very much like a typical girl outside of fighting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The shopping and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only time I tap out the most with shopping. I tap out.
Really?
I can't do that.
Favorite hobby.
I got three daughters. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So you probably get a lot of it.
Oh, well, when they want to go out, so I'm like, I'll be up here, but P.F. Chang's, and I'll meet you later. I can't. Jimmy, do you have your girlfriend like to go shopping, Jimmy?
Yeah, of course. But she does a lot of Amazon shopping, which is infuriating because there's nothing but boxes being dumped in our lobby. She shops a lot on Amazon, and then of course physically shops too. So it's a horror show.
Let me ask you, Aaron, are you still training in the gi, or did you retire your gi?
Oh yeah, I've kind of retired from the gi. I haven't been training gi since I started fighting MMA.
Now, and with your jiu-jitsu, are you doing the latest with the Ashigaramis? Your jiu-jitsu's are positionally very strong, and your fundamentals are sound, man. That Kimura, that guillotine, I'm loving it. Are you doing any of the 50-50s and this and that? Are you doing all?
What's a 50-50?
That's what's like a leg entanglement when you're both on each other's legs.
Okay.
So it's like
I definitely do train like all leg entanglements, 50-50, ashis. I train all of that. I think like when I kind of do like my own like more private sessions, it'll be more, I guess, like MMA focused, like more like top positions or getting out from bottom positions. But when I go to jitsu, I train everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
There's a lot to learn.
Is the 50-50 like when you see two fighters sitting and they're both just kind of grabbing on each other's legs and they're both trying to heel hook each other or something like that? Is that a 50-50?
It's kind of like your legs are like entangled. It literally looks like a 50-50 position. And then I feel like people just start kind of like punching each other. But yeah, you can go after like leg entanglements and stuff from there.
I like getting the hell out of there, even with my little legs.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Yeah.
It's definitely not a great position because it's called 50-50, I guess, for a reason. You both have a even chance of getting something.
Shit. Yeah. I don't like those odds. And not only that, some guys are weird with feet, foot locks. Some guys some guys got those rubbery feet and you can be so money with it and you get somebody like, this ain't working. Now they got your legs. Like, yeah. It's fun. It's all fun, but I'd avoid it and like to get a Kimura like Aaron does.
Yeah, I definitely like working my top positions more. But learning all those leg entanglements and getting good at those are they're just like another challenge.
You know, it's funny. Before you came on, we were talking about how confident Molly McCann was before she fought you. And I asked her. I asked her straight out because I knew about you and your jiu-jitsu. And I was asking her, what happens if she gets you down? Like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. She gave us a play-by-play. Oh, she had some stuff in the art. She goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get back to the cage. I'm going to do this enough to get an underhook. She was giving us a lot of right answers. But the problem is, when you watch, and you know this, Aaron, from training all the years, you can watch me roll and be like, this one, I see what they're doing. They're passing the guard. But when you roll with them and you feel the sensitivity of their, it's like how you use the force. It's like, whoa, this is, it's like you don't know that until you're actually grappling with somebody. So I don't think she knew that until she was cross-eyed crucifix. Like,
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like, you can break people down, but having to actually go and do it. And it's like, I know all the defenses to the things I'm doing too. So it's like, I know the counters. Yeah, so it's definitely different having to actually do it versus like the theory of it.
And how easy was it for you to adapt? Because you said you did it early on too as a kid with the striking. How did you take to the striking like you took to jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I feel like when I first started training, I mean, I liked both, but I think I competed a little bit more in jiu-jitsu. I always kind of favored that a little bit. I think I got a little better at jiu-jitsu a little quicker. But I've always was striking. That's why when I got into MMA and everyone was always pinning me as a grappler and people thought I couldn't strike or I was going to get knocked out by anybody that could. I always thought it was kind of funny because it's like, yeah, maybe it's not my strong suit. I think like my body type and everything kind of lends more to like my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu. But I mean, I know how to strike and I've been doing it since I was a kid too. So.
it's great because you don't look desperate to get to the ground with anybody.
Yeah.
You
know, that's what's
crucial. Like, you know, you're playing, you're striking them, they're striking you. Oh, we're in a striking match. Then they go to strike back, you're underneath them. And that's something that you can only get if you do have that skill set. You can't fake that because people know if he's doing a 1-2 to try to shoot. Or, you know, but if you give them something to respect standing up, it makes that takedown so much easier.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You have to be well-rounded. Like, you need to be able to strike with anybody, grapple with anybody. And I think especially my progression and like MMA, I definitely had to get my striking a little bit better. So people exactly could respect you, or you can make them make mistakes. Like, you hit them a couple of times and they weren't expecting that. They try to come back at you hard. Kind of what happened in the Molly fight, and you go right under, you get that takedown, and you have to work your timing and. Yeah, it can all come together.
What do you think, too? Valentina has been so dominant as a champion. And you know, I mean, she's had some fights, you know, go the distance. She's not destroying everybody, but she just almost seems invincible, which, of course, she's not. What do you think people have been doing wrong, if anything? And what do you attribute the fact that she's kind of beating everybody in all styles?
You know, I think she's pretty solid everywhere. Obviously, her striking is very good. That's, like, her primary, like, strength. I feel like her cage work and some of her like, I guess trips and stuff like that are pretty strong too. She doesn't have a lot of like, I guess, traditional wrestling. She doesn't do a lot of like doubles and singles, but she does have good body locks and good trips. So I think she kind of catches people off guard with that. And I think some people just don't know how to approach the fight. I think some people even come in almost like expecting to lose. You definitely can see that. And it definitely shows performances. I think the only person that didn't was like really Talia. Like, she came in ready to fight and, I think she gave her a really good fight. There was like a few, I mean, obviously striking, she was getting a little outstruck. And then on the ground, she wasn't able to get any subs. She was kind of just like holding positions and they were kind of going back and forth a little bit there. But I think there's definitely, I mean, like anybody, you can like break them down and like figure out a way to win. So I think no one's done it right yet. I think once I get there, I'll do it.
You're doing something right. No losses in the UFC. You only have one loss on your whole career. Mm-hmm. And it was by a split decision. And that was, Invicta. And that was with you versus Tracy Cortez. Now, that's a split decision. So I haven't seen the fight. Obviously, it was close. I mean, was that a just decision, do you feel? I'm not trying to start shit. I just don't know how to see.
Yeah. It was a close fight. Could have went either way. Like, when I look it over, I could see how I lost. I definitely made a couple mistakes. I stayed on my back a little bit too long on the first round and I was kind of hunting for an arm bar that just wasn't really coming. And I think I lost that round because I was on the bottom most of the time. The second round was close and the third round I definitely won. But I learned so much from that fight. And I think that loss kind of like woke me up and made me realize if I want to pursue this at the highest level, I definitely need to be a little more focused and get better in certain aspects of my game. So I think it was a big benefit in the long run.
Well, shoot, that was 3 years ago. And since then, man, you can't complain. You've been knocking everybody. You've been taking everybody out.
Mm-hmm. I think you're 10-1, right?
Yes.
And she's, I believe, 19-2. So, I mean, you guys both have incredible records. What a great fight this is. Congratulations on getting it. I mean, everyone knew you were going to get a higher ranked opponent, but I think this is as good of scenario as you could have possibly have gotten.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a huge fight for me. And I got out of my last fight like completely unscathed and I'm able to get back in there pretty quickly. Because my last couple other times I had to wait a little bit. So I was definitely happy to be able to get right back in there, get a high ranked opponent and be able to like establish myself like in the top five.
Well, Aaron, it was good talking to you. Thank you for coming on. And Matt was very excited too that you were coming on today. He was talking about it quite a bit beforehand. So
wore my jiu-jitsu shirt.
Yeah,
I just, you know, it makes me happy. Please tell Professor Silver Fox that I said hello.
I definitely will. All
right, excellent. Congrats.
Nice talking to you, Aaron. Yeah, congrats. Great win.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you again.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
That was fun.
Yeah, and I think that would be a very, very interesting matchup.
Is there any fights this weekend or no?
No fights this weekend. So you and I can just talk about who we hope fights soon.
Oh, I thought you meant talk this weekend.
Yeah, we can. What are you March 4th, come see me at the Paramount Theater in Long Island. Hope Matt's still coming.
Yeah.
That didn't sound enthusiastic.
Coming everywhere.
Oh, okay.
That'd be coming. Grow up, all right?
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm gonna be seeing you there.
Good.
And then
I'm jumping
on a plane to go back up fucking Marab.
Oh my god, yeah. What a fight. That's a great fight.
Come on, Marab. Let's fucking go.
Yep.
Let's fucking go.
Now everybody has to deal with Marab. Nobody wanted to deal with him. Now they all have to deal with him. So congrats to him.
What do you want to plug this weekend? Or you did it already?
Yeah, just did it. I want to say that April 21, 22, Cleveland, and I have March 4th in the Paramount, and that's it.
SarahBJJ.com for your jiu-jitsu needs. Now, I mean, listen, if you're in or around Huntington, Long Island, I guess. But also, you know, I do cameos. Besides that, man, I'm having a good time. Jimmy, I will see you. I'll talk to you by this weekend, Jimmy.
I'll talk to you over the weekend.
Stop being so serious. You're the comedian.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to say,
You should just say obviously.
No, why? You're very funny.
Tell me you love me. Bye, everyone. You mean little prick.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.